This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
Hi, everyone, and welcome along to Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, the tennis betting podcast brought to you in association with Bet Rivers. I'm Nigel Seeley, live here in New York, and my senior ATP Tour handicapper, because we win, Sean Calvert, who is coming out to the Big Apple next week, is in his bunker somewhere in south of England. Sean, how are you, mate? Hasn't been the greatest the first rounds, but it's a Grand Slam. It's the end of the year. These things happen, don't they?
They do. It's been tough in Grand Slams this year. I've said before, they're not. They're not normally the best places to look for value. I said at the first podcast we did about this US Open that, you know, there were so many matches where you just couldn't really get involved because of injuries. It has been tough. You know, some of these matches, these ones we're going to talk about today, I think this is a particularly difficult one as well. And obviously with the conditions, you know, we didn't know how it was going to play. You know, it seems to me like it's slower, as I alluded to yesterday. 77% holds, 71% first serve points won. That's down on the 3-year average since it moved to a lake hold surface, and the fewest tie breaks actually in round one of US Open, men's US Open, since 2013. Actually, only 38% of the matches featured a tie break, so that's the lowest in 10 years. So certainly conditions slow to start off with. It is difficult if you don't, you know, if you don't know the conditions to start off with. Obviously, when we record the podcast, we don't know the order of play either. But yeah, it's sometimes, you know, you have these little runs. You know, say Grand Slams are tough, but you know, we continue. I'll carry on trying to find the value, trying to give people the value where I see it.
Exactly, and I don't think I would have. I know we didn't get the results, but I don't think the argument was there for every single bet we had. So I'm not disputing the argument. Just sometimes the luck of the draw doesn't go your way. I mean, you said it's slow. It seems to be the common theme in all the majors this year. Wimbledon, obviously, as well. Australian Open, slower than normal. They're slowing it down. The Americans want Alcaraz and they want Djokovic in the final, don't they?
I can see why they're doing it. You know, they've been doing this for years. You know, one of the questions that you posed to me the other day was about surfaces and that sort of thing, wasn't it? And I don't like it. You should have variety in tennis. You can't have this situation where you're playing on slow court. It's no good for the players either. That might be what's contributing to some of these injuries as well. You know, there's been so many injuries. When you combine it with the balls that a lot of the tournaments use, these tournaments that we're at the minute, they use the US Open, Wilson US Open balls that are quicker, but those Dunlop ATP balls that they use for quite a lot of this season, that's like the official ball of the ATP, they're really slow. So slow balls, slow courts, you know, it equals long matches, which is great for the tournament directors. But at some point, you know, these players are going to start breaking down, and it might be a coincidence that it's happening now, but I'm not sure that it is. Slow balls, slow courts, you know, it does equal injuries eventually.
If you've got any questions for Sean, obviously just send them through to us or give us a tweet. We usually have a lot of questions. I haven't actually gone through the questions. I know we have some, but I'll look at them later on in the week and give some questions. But before we go on to this matches and look at tomorrow's order of play, the second round concludes on, I'm losing track of days. It's Thursday, isn't it? Thursday. Anything annoys you this week, Sean? Anything while I've been away? Anything?
Apart from the tennis, you mean?
Apart from the tennis. Anything sort of?
I've not had a great day, to be honest. As you know, remember when you quite recently your missus, you got to cut their hair and she put it on the wrong setting or something.
I'm still trying to catch up for that. Look,
I can't tell what this is like, but I had a similar situation earlier. I've been cutting my own hair for numerous years. A little bit fell out, a little tiny bit fell out of the shaver thing while I was halfway through, so I couldn't really carry on doing it. It took me about half an hour to put the thing back in, and I had to kind of hold
the hair. The hair. Did you glue it back? You need to keep them, mate. You need to keep them.
I've given up that. A little bit fell out, so I couldn't actually do it. So I then had to kind of hold it on, and it's absolutely ridiculous. But that happens, doesn't it? When you're having a bad day, you have a bad day in the tennis, other things start to go wrong, and then it all, you know, unravels, and you know, that's life, isn't it? But there you go.
Well, yesterday I mentioned about the burst water main outside my window here. I can still hear the noise, but they've opened the road already. The road going down 7th Avenue is open already. Traffic's coming through.
Done a good job
the day
on that.
After that hole. Can you imagine that in England? That would have been there for... You can't repair
about
it.
About a year, probably.
A year, at least 6 months. Where I live, there's a little hill, and we get when the thing comes in, I can't remember the name of it. But you hit the road falls away, the erosion of the road. What's it called? I can't think of the name. But anyway, they take 3 months to do one of those kind of things. I'll think of the name in a minute. But anyway,
like traffic calming, you mean?
No, what's that with the little bit the road falls away and the manholes or something? They fall away anyway. It takes three. The council go around and put a little circle around it with a bit of chalk and make and 3 months later they're done. But this is back already. Incredible. Anyway, let's move on to the tennis. That's what you come here for, not problems with Sean's hair and my traffic issues at home. Anyway, there's five matches we're going to talk about in the second round. I'm losing track of the days. I've lost the
these
day.
Are it Thursday.
Is Thursday. Yeah. I know. It's when I go away, it always takes me a few hours to actually remember, or a few days to actually come acclimatized to where I am. Anyway, so these are Thursday's second round matches. So these are tomorrow. I'm heading to the tennis in a little bit after this. I'll be giving you some updates to make sure you follow us on our Instagram account at Because We Win and our Twitter account. But these are Thursday's conclusion of round number two in the men's singles. And the first match we are going to discuss is Jarry up against Mickelson. Jarry, number 23 seed, is a minus 155 favourite against Mickelson at plus 123. You would actually argue that Mickelson has the better record this year on the hard court, but obviously the tournaments he's played in are of less calibre to what Jarry's been playing in. They both come through decent wins in the first round. Van Asscher for Jarry, which was a good win there, and Ramos Vinolas for Mickelson, which he won in straight sets in quite a comprehensive fashion. The spread here is 1.5. Jarry is minus 127 with the spread. And on the totals, they're high. The total is 40.5. Over is minus 110. And under is minus 115. They've never met before. Jarry's 8-5 on hard courts, Mickelson 24-9. But as I said, Mickelson hasn't been playing. He's been playing more challenger events, rather than main tour, ATP tour events. This looks quite a test for Jarry here. I know he's minus 155. We like him at altitude. He's a big server. Not surprised to see the total games at 40.5. But I think Jarry here could be tested. I don't know about you, Sean. What do you think of this one?
Well, you asked me about some things that annoyed me a little while ago. This has annoyed me actually because I feel like I've missed a bit of value here. I got up a little while ago and just sort of obviously had a look at the matches for Thursday, and this is the first one that I quite like the look of. And unfortunately, I think the little bit of the value's gone now. If you look at the 2023 main level records for these guys away from clay, we know Jarry goes well on clay, but not so well on the slightly quicker surfaces. Jarry, 60% win rate and a whole service points won. Return points won total of 103. Mickelson, 64% win rate and the same total, 103. Service hold break totals, Jarry, 104.3. Mickelson, 106.5. So on the raw stats, you would certainly put Mickelson in with a chance. Mickelson's held serve. He's not the biggest of service, but he's held serve 85% of the time at main level away from clay this season. Jarry, 88%, as you would expect, you know, big server. Decent serve on all surfaces. I just think Mickelson's beaten Isner and Cressy on grass this summer, so he's proven that he can handle the big servers and turn things around on them and beat them. I could certainly see him going very, very close here. The problem that I've got is that Mickelson opened up at about 2.78 plus 178, and at that price, he would have been a bet. But by the time I kind of got round to looking at it, which was probably a couple of hours later than the opening show, he was much, much shorter than that. Was he about 2.3-ish now?
Yeah, plus 123 with Bet Rivers currently.
Yeah, that's unfortunately too short. So people might still want to bet it. That's why I kind of put this down, even though the price isn't ideal. I certainly would have backed him at 2.78, potentially plus 1.5 sets or something like that. But now that he's down as short as 2.23 plus 123, that option has kind of gone out the window and would be odds on, which would be a problem. But I can certainly see this going long. I could certainly see Mickelson testing Jarry. He's certainly got the tools against big servers. So yeah, it's just got to be a lean for me, unfortunately. I would have backed Mickelson at a bigger price.
The only thing I think you're absolutely right, and I do like Mickelson here, but you've given us some of his form there on grass, where he's gone toe to toe and beaten some of the better fast court conditions. The fact is, it's quite slow here. Would that be a little bit of a concern for you? I mean, the fact that if it was quick, I would definitely think Mickelson would be a great bet here at +123. But because it's a lot slower, that obviously slightly favours Jarry.
It's slightly slower. Yeah, I mean, Newport, where those were played, it's not particularly quick. A quick grass court surface, it just bounces. It's quite a lot lower, slightly different conditions in that respect. But yeah, as I said, I couldn't back Mickelson, I don't think, at the price that he currently is. But I would have been tempted. I definitely would have been tempted at 2.78, which he was earlier. Still not sure about Jarry. Even if it's a slower hard court, I just don't think his movement is that great. You know, he was tested by Van Asche yesterday. That could have gone the distance, but you know, Jarry's serve ultimately got him through. It probably will ultimately get him through here, Jarry, but I certainly wouldn't be backing a Jarry at that price.
If the market does bounce back, Sean, and he does go back to a more favourable price, what's the price that you would be stepping in to look at Mickelson? What's your cut-off point?
I'd be tempted around about 2.65, something like that, if he goes right out to that sort of price. We're probably not going to get the 2.78 that he opened at, but yeah, I'd be tempted. Anything over probably 2.5, I'd be tempted, yeah.
Yeah, so only +150 or above Mickelson. But at the current 123, he is a lean. We believe he could give Jarry a match. But at the current prices, the early bird has caught the worm.
And even earlier than me. You know, I normally get this early bird.
That's what I was just about to say. The early bird is usually Mr. Calvert, the Calvert bird. But someone else has swooped in earlier than you. Obviously, it's been bugging me while we were talking about it. Manholes is what I was talking about. Manholes. When you go down the country lanes and you get in the manholes. There's the road that I live in. I live out in the country, and there's a road that you go down, and there is probably 6 manholes on it. And the council come around, they put a bit of paint around the manhole, and it takes 6 months to get that repaired. And Sith, I know it's very different. A country lane in Kent,
terribly British, isn't it?
Very, 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 very.
Just to say, yeah, we've seen the problem, but we're not actually.
That's the job I want. I want to be that guy. Wouldn't you like to be that guy? The guy just walks around, puts a bit of paint around the manhole, and then just goes home and nothing gets done for 6 months.
As in the guy that just tells everybody else what to do, but doesn't actually do it himself. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm up for that, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you a quick, I know we're sort of breaking away from the tennis, but when I very first started working in a newspaper, I worked in a newspaper called The Racing Post in England. We had a head of IT called Halal, and I wanted to be Halal. Halal's job was every time there was a problem with a computer, Halal would come along. He would look at the computer, turn it on and off. Then he would smash it to the side of it, smash it to the other side of it. Nothing would come on. And then he'd put a post-it note on and said, out of order, take it away and put a new computer on. There was a stack in Halal's office where there was hundreds and hundreds of computers. Nothing ever got prepared. And he was probably on the most highest paid as head of IT in like the early 90s. I would love to be Halal.
What was his qualifications for being head of IT? Just being able to smack something.
To be able to smack a computer and put a post-it note that said out of order. And he used to replace the old one with a new one and just put it in, plug it in and go, there you go, it works. And his office, you couldn't get in his office after 7 years of working there with backed up, out-of-date computers. None of the computers ever were repaired. He just went down and bought a new one. And that's like the manhole man.
All that money in the Racing Post spent on
Halal,
the IT.
Head of IT in 1990. He probably runs Apple and Microsoft now. He probably works for them.
I doubt it.
He's probably the man who's doing around putting the manholes, putting the paint around manholes.
Possibly. That's more like it, I think.
What a job you want to have there. Anyway, that's enough. If you are watching Halal, give us a shout. Next match, Artur Fils against Analdi. This one here is an interesting match. Artur Fils come through a real epic 3-2 in the first round of his match against Griekspoor. He was training that game and come through. I bet him in play, actually. And if you are betting in play, remember, Bet Rivers have a brilliant offer that if you bet up to $25, you'll get a 50% match bonus in your account. So that's on all matches on the first round. The information is below us on the graphic below. Artur Fils is -150 and Audi is +120. They've met once before and Audi won that. That was in Madrid, though, on clay this year in qualification. But if you look at the way the routes have come through, Phil's obviously a very talented Frenchman has come through an epic against Griekspoor 3-2, whereas Analdi got very fortunate. Kubler is an opponent retired, so he didn't really have to put in much energy. The spread here is 2.5, -106 for Phil's, -121 for Analdi. Analdi receives the start, and the total is 39.5. Given their routes here and the head-to-head, Analdi might have a bit of a chance here. What do you think of that one?
Yeah, I think there's a very, very big difference in energy levels potentially in this match, as you just alluded to there. You know, if he's played 4 hours against Talon Greekspor, he was cramping up at the end. He had to concede a game just to get treatment, because you're not really allowed treatment for cramps, are you? It's one of the rules. You can't get treatment for cramps unless you give up a game, which is what he did. The gambit worked for him. He ended up winning it 7-5 in the fifth. But, you know, he's 19 years of age, Feast. This is his first real season on the tour. I watched him against Brandon Nakashima at Winston-Salem. I mean, Nakashima won that just on physicality, really. He was just the stronger guy after two very, very close sets in warm, very warm, humid conditions. And Nakashima eased through, in the third set there. So when you bear in mind that Analdi played for precisely 50 minutes, didn't even play for an hour in his first round match against against the always injured Kubler, you would think that is a pretty big advantage, given also that Arnaldi's slightly further ahead in his progression in terms of his career. You know, he's 22 years of age, you know, almost 3 years older than Artur Fils. He plays a lot of his matches on clay. You know, you would think he's the one that would be likely, if this went to a sort of long four or five, you would think that he'd be the one that would be able to carry on at his best level, rather than Fils, who's struggled. He's not done that well at all, really, this hard court summer. He's not played that many matches, Fils, but he only won 41% of his second serve points against Greekspor. He only won 47% of his second serve points against Nakashima, and only 31% against Hugo Humbert in Cincinnati. So he's been relying quite a lot on his first serve to get him through, Fils. And I think that'll be a difficult thing to do when you're tired, you know, against someone like Arnaldi, who possesses good weapons of his own, decent serve, you know, big forehand. You feel like Fils, if he's going to win this, he's going to have to do it quick. And I'm just not sure about this price on him at all. So this is the bet that I've taken today. I think it's a really, really tricky card today. You know, I said in the first round I was going to be a little bit circumspect with my bets. Ended up costing me, didn't it? Because the one that I didn't go for won, which was Van der Zandschulp, wasn't it? Which is kind of annoying, but you know, there we are. Taking on Aldi here as the underdog, and you do get, obviously, if one set's completed with Bet Rivers, you do get paid on that, because I wouldn't be surprised if Fils didn't last the course here. And as you said, Arnaldi's beaten him before on clay, a quick clay as well in Madrid. So there's a lot of reasons to kind of be interested in Arnaldi here and be wary of Fils, I think.
Couldn't agree more with you there. I don't know, it's a good thing though, because I agreed with you on all your bets on the first round, and look, we didn't do so well. But I think Arnaldi here at plus 120 is a great price, and that having that extra bonus of the retirement factor to play one set with Bet Rivers even enhances that play, because I, like you, I can't see, if this goes deep, I can't see Artur Fils competing. I think it's a great wager, Arnaldi at plus 120, and I wouldn't be surprised to see the money come for him here and start around about even money for this match. Another Italian is in action. He's a heavy favourite this time around, though. Matteo Berrettini, the former Wimbledon finalist, he's up against Artur Rindanich. Minus 480 for Berrettini. Rindanich is plus 350. Berrettini showed some brilliant serving and was really at his best in the match against Humbert, winning three sets to love. He plays an opponent in Rindanich who hasn't had a great year on the hard court. He's 2-6. He did beat Schwartzman, but really, given Schwartzman's career at the moment, where his career is at, that's not a surprise there. The handicap here is 5.5, with Berrettini giving up 5.5 at plus 106, sorry, and Rindanich minus 5.5 is minus 136. The total here is 38.5. I don't know, as I keep saying to everybody who watches this podcast or anyone listens to it or watches it on the show, I don't know Sean's bets at the time. He just gives me the matches. But I'd be very surprised, Sean, if you were making the case for Rindanich here at plus 350, given Berrettini's form in the first round. But we do know he's had injury concerns. We do know he's probably inconsistent. So I'm quite intrigued to see where you want to go on this match.
I want to go in the first set overs, potentially, here with these two. As you said, both men started really, really well. Berrettini demolished Humbert, really. Rinderknecht, similar against Diego Schwartzman. Schwartzman's been a very difficult guy to call, hasn't he, this last few months? You know, he was really, really poor for a long spell. Then he kind of popped up and won a few good matches on grass. Won a couple of good matches after that as well. And then he put in a really poor one against against Rinderknecht. He's very up and down these days, Schwartzman, mainly down, but he does have his ups as well, which makes him very difficult guy to call. Rinderknecht won 86% of his first serve points against Schwartzman. He was usually a great returner. Didn't have a great day, but Rinderknecht serving really, really well. Tends to be against left-handers that Rinderknecht has struggled in recent times. Obviously, Berrettini, a right-hander, so that isn't a major problem for him. Yeah, Humbert didn't have a great day at all against Berrettini. He only served at 53% of his first serves. Didn't really give himself any chance at all, but doesn't like the matchup, I don't think, Humbert against Berrettini. I think Berrettini just plays a bit too quick for him. Rinderknecht hasn't played much on hard courts this season because mainly due to injury. He had an injury, I think he was in Miami. I think he only played a couple of matches earlier on hard courts, but he's been playing very well on the clay recently. And he's played well against top 20 opponents in recent times. You know, he took Alcaraz all the way to a final set tiebreak at Queen's Club. He's actually won three of his last six matches against top 20 opposition. So on his day, you know, he has the weapons to trouble the best guys. I don't think he's going to beat Berrettini in this contest, but, you know, Berrettini himself has been very up and down. Looked like he was going to come back to form at Wimbledon. Didn't really happen for him after that, did it, in the couple of tournaments that he played on hard courts? You know, didn't really show that same level of form. I think this is the bet that I'm interested in is the set one overs, which is, I think it was a plus 155 chance over 10 and a half games. That's the one I like. These guys have never met each other before. I do quite like it when they haven't met. It does tend to take them a little bit of time to get used to the patterns of play of the opposition, the ball coming at them. It tends to take a while. Berrettini often isn't the best on return anyway. So if I was having a bet in this match, it's just a lean here, but I'm going to go with the over 10 and a half games. What concerns me is the fact that the court is not playing that quick yet. That's what kind of worries me a little bit, but I'd certainly be looking at set one overs at plus 155 over 10 and a half games here.
So we're leaning for overs and set one at 10 and a half. Always a good strategy whenever Berrettini plays. And that is the match against Rinderknecht, which is obviously tomorrow. We don't know the order of play, but we do know the action starts at 11 a.m. Eastern time. And BetRivers have a whole magnitude of different markets. You will not find any more betting markets on the tennis than what BetRivers offer. And the next match we're going to talk about, Rublev against Monfils, there's 46 markets available on that match already. And this, for me, looks a really, really good match. I'm hoping tomorrow that I'll be there watching this game. And hopefully the timing is right. They'll put it on Arthur Ashe in the afternoon session. But I think this is going to be one of the best matches of the day. They've met twice before, one win apiece. 2021 in Cincinnati, Rublev won against Monfils. And in 2018, Monfils beat Rublev in Dubai. Rublev's in a bit of poor form, though, coming into this tournament. After he won in Borstad, he hasn't really played any good tennis at all. And Monfils is getting better and better after sort of so many injuries over the years. The spread here is 3.5, minus 112 for Rublev, minus 114 for Monfils, and the total is 38.5. This match here, Sean, promises to be a really, really good match between two very entertaining tennis players. What's your thoughts on this one?
I think this could be really, really entertaining. Yeah, I think you're right. Just looking at their stats on outdoor hard, you mentioned it there a second ago, Rublev's not been playing great tennis. He hasn't really since Borstad, and he hasn't really on hard courts this season. 2023 outdoor hard court stats, main level, Monfils, 57% win rate. That can be kind of slightly ignored because obviously the first couple of matches when he was coming back after a long spell of injury are included in these stats. But his service points won, return points won, total is 102, which is exactly the same as Rublev's. And Rublev's hasn't had an injury to contend with. He's not coming back from an injury as Monfils was, but yet his stats are the same. And in the whole break totals, the service hold break totals, they're actually inferior. Monfils is on 106, Rublev 103. So certainly very, very promising stats as far as Monfils is concerned, bearing in mind he's obviously the underdog for this match. As you said, Rublev hasn't shown any form or he hasn't really shown anything at all since winning that Borstad title. Maybe that night out that I mentioned with Casper Ruud was a really big one. It's set him back for about 2 months. That's possible, I suppose. On the head-to-head, Monfils was literally sick during their last match in 2021 in Cincinnati. He threw up on the court, if I remember rightly. And he still took it to two tiebreaks that day. Rublev only won 27% of his second serve points that day. Managed to eke out a win in two tiebreaks against an ailing Monfils. And his first serve did all the damage. He won 86% on his first serve, but was doing nothing on his second serve. So, and before that, Monfils beat Rublev pretty easy in the final of Doha back in 2018. So you would think that Monfils is in with a pretty good chance here. It's his birthday tomorrow, by the way. If you see him, you can wish him happy birthday. He'll be 37.
Going out with him in Spethelina. We're going out to dinner.
Oh, are you? Where are you going?
Yeah. Don't know yet. He said he'll text me with a venue later on. She wants to go for there's apparently a Ukrainian restaurant in near here, but he wants to go for French. I want to go Italian, so we don't know really. We're trying to work out a venue.
Well, you better see what mood he's in after this Rublev match. I would be pretty tempted to back Monfils here, but yeah, I'm just not sure he's going to last the full five sets. I think if he's going to win it, he's got to win it sort of 3-0, 3-1. I'm not sure I can see him winning it in five really testing sets against Rublev. I think there's going to be a lot of long rallies in this. That's what puts me off. The lean here is Monfils, but I'm just not sure at 37 years of age tomorrow whether he can still do it in a fifth set against a much younger opponent in pretty warm conditions.
I think that's very important what you said there. I mean, you said it already, it's a very tricky card. You're keeping your bets quite minimal. And I think sometimes in tennis betting or any betting in general, you've got to do that. If you look at the card and you think to yourself, and that's why in-play betting is so good. So obviously, BetRivers are have all the different markets in play, and that offer that I have on the bottom of the screen here is so important. So if you have an opinion, the lean for Sean there is Monfils at +160 to see how he goes, see how the match turns out, and then probably bet him in play. But pre-match, we're not really rushing into bets today. The next match, though, I do have a strong opinion on. And again, I don't know what Sean is going to go on here, but I've got to judge. I think he'll go the same with me here. Hercash against Draper. Hercash is -195. Jack Draper, I refer to him as Scott. He's +155. The head-to-head is 2-0 to Hercash. He's 2-0 up. The market I like here is the tie breaks in the match. I mean, if you look at all the overs, you look at their matches they played before. They played in 2 3-set matches. There were 34 total games in one of them in 2023 in Monte Carlo this year on a clay court. In Antwerp, there was 33 total games in a best of 3 sets as well. So you can see where I'm going here. There's been 3 tie breaks in those 6 sets. And in 4 of those 6 sets, there's been over 10.5 games. Over 10.5 games in set one is +155 with BetRivers. The handicap is 3.5, -125 for Hercash, -103 for Draper. And the total is 40.5 with over -113. I do expect this to go long. I do expect it to be tight. My only concern, as we've said all the way through this podcast, and it seems to be something that's going to be mentioned all the way through the tournament, is Draper's fitness. I think that is the big worry we have here. But I like this over 10.5 in set one at +155. Are you in the same opinion as me? You should be a quiet poker player, Sean. You're giving nothing away when I'm saying
I was waiting for you to finish talking. I don't want to interrupt.
Well, no, but I can tell by your eyes or your body language if you agree with me or not. But
can you?
I like over. I thought I could, but obviously can't. Over 10.5 in set one is my play at +155. What do you think?
I think it's quite likely there's going to be a competitive first set. Yeah, what you just said there, I think is spot on in terms of the key to this match. I think it will be the fitness of Jack Draper, which is so hard to trust him, isn't it? You know, he retired yet again in Winston-Salem last week with an unspecified injury. I watched that first set against Griekspoor, and I'm not entirely sure what was wrong. I mean, we just kind of sat down and the camera didn't really pan to what was going on. So I'm not sure. He didn't list an injury, and it was unspecified. So I don't really know what the problem was, but there's always seems to be a problem with him, doesn't there? But the other side of the coin is he seemed absolutely fine. You know, less than a week later against Radu Albot in the first round, he won that, you know, pretty convincingly. Won 84% of his first serve points won. And if you're looking at a set one over situation, a tiebreak situation, that's, you know, pretty good evidence that that's likely to happen if he can carry on serving that way against Hercash. But, you know, Hercash, you know, he shouldn't be here, really. He should have lost in straight sets in the first round against another left-hander, Marc-Andrea Huesler, who was 2 sets up, serve for the match, couldn't get it done, ended up losing the set 7-0 in a tiebreaker, and that was the end of Huesler. so fortunate, you know, Hercash to be here. With, you know, so that for the advantage point of view for Hercash, he played a left-hander in Hughes and now he's going to play one in Draper. I think that's quite a big advantage for him going five with a lefty and then now playing another lefty. He's actually got a very, very good record against left-handers, Hercash. Just looking at the head-to-head, I've got it on my screen here, the two matches. One of them was on clay, which you wouldn't really say suited Jack Draper. I only said Scott then. Suited Jack Draper. Quick clay, like a Madrid, you would fancy Draper, but not in Monte Carlo-type clay. He's struggled, Draper, to do much on the Hercash serve. Hercash has held serve 88% of the time against Draper in their two-match series. Draper's actually only held 76% of the time, and he's only won 32% of return points, Draper, in this matchup against 40% for Hercash. What I was going to say about this, it comes back to a point you made a minute ago about betting in play. I actually think Hercash, if he does go behind, maybe he goes a break down, maybe he loses the first set in a tie break or a long first set that you mentioned, I would be tempted to back Hercash at that point. He's what is he at the minute, about 1.56 or something like that?
Draper's plus 155 and Hercash is minus 195. It's almost 1-2.
So about 1.5, 1-2. That's a bit. I think Hercash is going to win this eventually. But, you know, we've talked about Hercash many, many times, haven't we, on this podcast. Very rarely does he do things easily. And he certainly didn't do it easily against Huesler yesterday. I think in play, Hercash is interesting. As I said, if he goes down a break or maybe loses the first set on a tie break, I would be interested in backing Hercash over the highly questionable fitness of Draper. I'm not so sure he can go a five long sets. I think Hercash can. I don't think Draper can.
So, Sean, that's the five matches that we've spoken about all wrapped up. Official play, just the one, is it? Just the one we're going to go with?
Yeah, I'm going to be a bit circumspect here. I think this is a very, very difficult card. Really difficult. But the value, as I see it, there's only one price where I'm seeing value, and that's in the Arnaldi price against Feast.
And that is the over 10.5, or is it?
Just to win, Arnaldi to win.
To win at plus 120. Currently with Bet Rivers, the lean was for Mickelson. There was lean for over total games in the Berrettini match in the first set. Rublev Monfils as well, small lean for Monfils. And Hercash Draper, I like the over 10.5 here at plus 155 in set number one. It would have cashed in four of the six sets that the two have played. But obviously all these matches come not with a public wealth warning. They come with a public health warning. Because of all the injuries concerns to all these players. And that seems to be the common denominator in the opening week here in New York. Remember, there's four ways to follow us here on Betting Weekly Game Bet Match. You can download the podcast, Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, from your preferred podcast provider. You can subscribe, and please subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's the Betting Weekly Studios. Some brilliant content on there. I keep saying it, but this weekend we've got some great stuff. We've got the Premier League tomorrow, the European League's covered as well, with a unique head-to-head challenge between the handicappers. And we also have the Champions League draw tomorrow. All the big guns are in action. We'll be doing a preview show on Friday on where you should place your money on the Champions League. And also you can follow us on our Twitter page and our Instagram page at Because We Win. You'll be able to follow me there as I head to the Flushing Meadow Courts now, Billie Jean King Arena. I'm heading my way in the next hour or so. You can follow me there. All my action today, and Sean will be out in New York at the weekend as well, and you can follow his journey as well. Sean, enjoy your day, my friend.
Thank you.
Be back. Well, I won't speak to you now before you come out. Tomorrow I'm back with Roy Giovanni looking at the women's draws and the third round matches there, I believe, in the women's draw. So all I can say is have a very safe journey. Have a very, very
Thank
safe
you.
Journey.
It and, won't be like yours, but it'll be, you know, similar-ish.
Now they will know you're Sean Calvert when you turn into check-in. I'm sure they'll upgrade you. I'm sure you can say, listen, I'm Sean Calvert from Because We Win. They'll know who you are, surely.
You think so? I'm not so
sure. I know so. Anyway, my friend, have a great journey, and we'll catch up with you next week, and we'll have a Bud Light or something in Manhattan one evening. Take care. Thank you always for watching. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, Sean, and the safe journey over here. And everybody else, good luck with your bet today. But really, the word of the day is caution here in New York. Very difficult card, lots of injury concerns, but one bet, Arnaldi to beat Monfils. Take care. Bootfields. Take care.